Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your Political Week in Review, broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. It's been another wild boar of a week. Oink, oink. The political dumpster's ablaze, but let's put out this shit show and reload your brain with a fact you actually need. All right, you little bastards. It's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Come on, you feline. Start scratching the post. Holy moly. Take it away, gentlemen.
What's up, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals? Welcome back. It's another episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, and we welcome you, for crying out loud.
Yeah, we welcome you to the end of a work week. Congrats on surviving. That's not all we can do, right?
Yeah, exactly. As long as we're getting through, dude, that's all we need to think about. And if we can do it with a little positivity, a little humor, then that's all the better, right?
I suppose so. So, ready, steady, here we go. If you want to contact us, go to thevocalminority.net. It's a little website we have. We're cool and hip and modern. You can email us directly. Otherwise, there's stuff there, but really contacting us is the main thing if you want to get vocal.
That's right. And we want you to get vocal, dude, because that's the only way we're taking down this regime, for crying out loud, letting other people know about it, especially before we, you know, get into the midterms. I know it seems like we got a little time, ladies and gentlemen, but the time is nigh. I mean, it's now, for crying out loud, to get up, get vocal, and talk to people. So there you go.
All of that. I was thinking today, like the midterms, boy, they're really far away, but they're not. They're like 6 months away, give or take. So
yeah,
we shall see. And I just realized, I hope my son's not listening, but he's not listening. I'm going to be in fucking Vegas for Metallica, like right before the midterm elections. I'm going Halloween weekend, and the midterms is that Tuesday right after Halloween. So I know it's going to be crazy for us. So yeah. I think it's going to be a good little escape, you know?
I hope so, dude. You got a little bucket list thing happening, and I've got some news on that today, for crying out loud.
You have Metallica news?
Yeah, I do.
Oh. Does it involve Pete Hegseth?
Yes.
I'm up on everything. So,
all right.
But we'll get there. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get there. But yes, it is. It's going to be busy. But this is what we always say. We're here to do the work for you. We've got a ton of shit to get to today. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, your political week in review begins now.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
So here's the deal. You know, I mean, there's lots of news going on, as always. But I found last week, we spent almost the entire hour talking about, well, not last week, on Tuesday, this week. It's been the longest 10 years of my life, this first year of Trump's term. So,
yeah, anyways, no, I get you.
We talked about the Iran war quite a bit because it's a war and it's relevant and all that stuff. But a lot of people kept saying, like, don't get distracted from the Epstein files and everything else going on. So I think we shall start off today's show. People chiming in already. New files are always a good time to dig in and provide even more proof that Trump is a demon nepo baby.
Yes.
Thank you, Curse Barkley. Metallica coming out in support of ICE. Again, they never supported ICE. How fucking dare you?
Fake news.
I mean, they got like two Latinos in the group. Lars is a foreigner. Like, there's not a lot of love for ICE and Metallica, but we'll get there later.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd ever say that. Right. Go ahead.
I would say Mick Jagger's in the Epstein files, but Metallica aren't. So
doing the rooster or what? I didn't know that.
Well, there's one of those pictures they released of a bunch of celebrities to try to distract us. Like, look, Michael Jackson's in there. Look, Mick Jagger's in there. It's not just Donald.
Anything they can do to not make us think about who we really care about right now. I mean, we care about them all, but let's talk a little bit about Donald. I've got a two-part report that'll just kind of set this up for us. Epstein files are here.
The DOJ has now released previously unseen documents from the Epstein files that reference President Trump. They include new summaries and notes from FBI interviews with a woman back in 2019 who said she was assaulted by Trump in the 1980s when she was between 13 and 15 years old. MS Now senior legal reporter Lisa Rubin is following this for us.
Hi,
what
Lisa.
Else do we find out in these documents?
Chris, I want to emphasize to you and our viewers that these three documents, the ones that reflect interviews with a woman who accused both Jeffrey Epstein and Trump of sexual assault when she was a teenager, those are not the only documents that have been released. As you noted, there are 17 other new documents at the very least, and they include interviews with other alleged victims of Jeffrey Epstein, as well as other men who are named in these new files. But with respect to this Trump accuser, she is now detailing in these documents how she came to meet Donald Trump, the assault that she says she experienced at his hands, and perhaps maybe most importantly of all, we understand now why the FBI might have stopped talking to her. In October of 2019, this woman told the FBI that she understood that the statutes of limitations with respect to her allegations against both Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump had long since passed, and therefore she said to them, "What's the point of my giving you any more detail?"
It is messed up. There's a statute of limitations on sexual assault. There's not on murder. Like, I kind of feel like that should probably be in that category.
Yeah, you think about that just even for a quick second. You think like, murder. I mean, it's the biggie. But sexual assault, like, I don't know. I think everyone that's probably listening or watching right now knows somebody in their life that's been sexually assaulted. And that shit doesn't stop or go away in a week. You know, like it changes lives, the course of lives forever. So
it's also super common to not want to talk about it or report it right away. You know her. I dated a woman in Seattle that into her 20s, all of a sudden had these memories coming back of her father assaulting her when she was like 10. So, I mean, 15 years had gone by. So you're telling me like because that was repressed memories from traumatic things, like, so it's pretty messed up. But yeah, so this woman that they're talking about in the NBC report there, it's kind of hard to tell with some of these stories because everything's redacted, but. So it's hard to say, is this the same woman giving the same quotes? You know what I mean?
Yeah, people are saying that, but we don't know. And that's the purpose of the redaction. So.
Right, I suppose so. So let's start because there's several. Because, yeah, they said all the Epstein files are out. We're done. We washed our hands. And now they're like, oh, hey, actually, no, there's millions more. So here we go. All right. Hidden accuser claims Playboy Trump was jealous of Jeffrey Epstein.
Are you kidding? What's there to be jealous of?
Well, I don't know. That's a great question. And Trump is jealous of everyone who has any sort of power or women are around him or whatever else. So I would imagine in their sick little twisted world that this would make sense. So a woman who accused Trump and Epstein of sexually abusing her when she was a minor claimed the president was envious of the notorious pedo. Speaking with the FBI in late 2019, which sounds like that same woman, don't know for sure, though. Just weeks after the disgraced financier died while awaiting trial on sex trafficking charges, the alleged victim, whose name is redacted in these new documents, claimed to investigators she was repeatedly assaulted by both of them in the 1980s. So, again, sounds like that. But, quote, she thought Trump appeared jealous of Epstein, but at some point they ended up on level playing fields. The documents go on, further outlining the woman's claims that Trump forced her to perform, I'm not even sure if I can say these words or not, perform oral activities, beat her when she resisted, and may have later sought to threaten her into silence. So, multiple things there. I suppose being envious of Epstein's the least on that problematic list.
Yeah, no, completely. I mean, some of the things that were talked about were, I mean, it's all sick. But one of the things that stuck out in my mind is that they talked about who would take her virginity.
No, I didn't read that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty foul, right? I mean, like I said, this is all foul. I'm just saying, like, stuff that I've, no, the stuff that I've looked at, I'm just like, oh my God, dude. He is as sick as we think he is. And why some people are still turning their head on this is unbelievable to me. Most of all, the DOJ. What will happen with Pam Bondi? She better get going here. I mean, the Dow's not going to stay at 50,000 forever, dude.
I don't know if it is anymore, actually. So, okay, so speaking of creepy, another thing that came out in this new batch, creepy nicknames that Trump allegedly used with Epstein revealed by an accuser. The woman, who again is not identified, described the language that Trump and Epstein allegedly used when referring to the girls, telling the interviewers that she had heard them using the terms fresh meat, untainted, and not jaded.
Ooh, I mean, do you have a physical and emotional reaction when you hear all this shit?
I mean, as a father and as a human being, yeah, I have said many times before, I am not a violent, murderous kind of guy. But if I found out that you were assaulting my daughter or even my, you know, my loved one, like my girlfriend, like I would beat the living shit out of you and sure. Death would be a likely outcome. So when I hear somebody allegedly saying that these girls were fresh meat, untainted, I mean, what you were just talking about, that plays right into this as far as trying to find and take down, you know, virgins or something. Like it's a, I mean, it's completely fucking disgusting if I have to even say that.
Yeah, yeah. There's all kinds of quotes in here. I mean, yeah, kitty cat, that is gross. It's all gross. I'm just wondering, are we going to, because even today we're going to talk about Iran. You know, like, is that all based to get away from this, in your opinion? Do you think that's the 100% reason that we dove in?
Is wait, why?
That we went to war with Iran?
Oh.
Is to get away from this? Do you think 100% of it?
I would say 90-something percent of it is a distraction. But that's from Epstein, from failed domestic agendas, you know, off the lid. Like, it's definitely all a distraction. So I can't say it's 100% anything. But I think, like we've talked about before, it's also Trump wants to redraw the world map. He wants to play with all of his toys, including his army men. So it's a very dangerous mixture of all of that. Yeah, and, Claire here. People are turning a blind eye to all of this horror, including the Democrats. What the fuck is that about? Are they, though? I mean, I hear a lot of Democrats talking about this. I mean, we're not in power, so we don't have subpoena power. We don't run the committees. Like, I feel like I hear a lot, including us.
I hear a lot of people saying about the Clintons, like, why didn't they put the nail in the coffin? And, you know, well, it could be a couple of different answers. It could be that, you know, if they put the nail in that coffin, they'll put the nail in their own coffin. You know, that's a possibility.
Assuming they have a nail.
Right. That's the other possibility. They don't have a nail, you know? So, let's see. Larry Summers said to Epstein, this was one of the quotes out of here on Trump. How plausible is the idea that Trump is a real cocaine user? Epstein says zero. Summers later said, I think your friend is mentally ill. Epstein says, not my friend. So everyone talks about Trump like he is mentally ill, you know, and that's because he is. But I guess when you're a billionaire, you have all this power that, you know, you could just play around with conversation like this and still hang out with people. Like if I find a creep or if I find someone mentally ill that's abusing people, I'm going to stop hanging out with them. They don't do that, you know, because, well, birds of a feather.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it is hard to tell because Epstein was famous and well-connected. So, you know, pictures with hanging out with Mick Jagger. Do we assume everyone in the circle is tainted or knew what he was up to? Or just the people that were mentioned 57,000 times in the Epstein files? Like,
let's just start with them, dude. Let's start with them and work our way back.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's super fair. And, you know, I mean, the more of this stuff that comes out and the more investigations. And by the way, people, I mean, if we take back one of the houses come this fall, like there could be some real accountability. And not only is everyone predicting, by the way, that we will take back the House of Representatives, the Senate is becoming more and more in play. And I don't want to give any of us, like, you know, teasing political chubbies here, but I mean, we could impeach the man if we did that. He could still end up in jail. We could still right these wrongs.
Can we put Pam Bondi in jail, too? You know, I mean, we could do all that if we get some power back, right?
And Nixon's attorney general famously went to jail, even though Nixon got pardoned. So, you know, I'm not trying to dangle too much of a carrot, but I'm just saying that some level of accountability can happen if we all actually show up and get out and get our friends and neighbors, get the youth vote. Like, I mean, there could... So many of us have just been so angry over the fact that Trump should be in prison right now. He was going to be sentenced to prison by the judge in New York, but then the election and he can't, like, you know, he should be in jail. There's a small chance we could still do that.
all the asshats of MAGA town write that off like it never happened, you know, because there was no accountability. They're like, well, he's not in jail. Well, yeah, dude, it's real easy to understand why he's not in jail, because he became our president, dude. I mean, he saved himself. It's get out of jail. Deputy AG Todd Blanche said about this, I don't believe the public will uncover men who abused women within the Epstein files. Unfortunately, I think you're just as guilty as the rest of the people in that DOJ hiding these documents. How crazy is it, dude, that these were released? And first of all, they said, oh, we took them out of there because they were duplicates. Well, it just happened to be that, no, they weren't duplicates, so they replaced them. But the ones that they put back in were about President Trump specifically. Right. Like, that's not a coincidence. You, I mean, come on.
There are no coincidences. And yeah, it's highly suspicious, obviously. Much like this one, stunning FBI document claims that Trump assaulted a teenage girl after she, quote, bit the shit out of his penis.
Oof.
Wowzers. A newly released FBI document details disturbing allegations that President Donald Trump struck a teen girl after she, quote, bit the shit out of his penis in an assault facilitated by his BFF, Jeffrey Epstein. Trump and his administration have pushed back on revelations and redactions from the latest release, including multiple claims of misconduct against Trump, the sexual kind, in FBI documents. But pages and pages of files involving Trump were initially removed, like you were just talking about, including a horrifying assault accusation on a then 13 or 14-year-old girl. On Thursday night, the DOJ released at least some of those files. And they are harrowing. An FBI interview that took place on August 7th, 2019, describes a woman who claimed that Epstein brought her to meet Trump when she was 13 to 15 years old, which, again, kind of sounds like the woman that that NBC article mentioned. But
yeah.
We know multiple, you know, girls were part of this, so who knows?
Right. And according to Megyn Kelly over at Sirius, I mean, that's not a kid. Okay, that's just that's younger people.
How does she still have a job after saying something like that? I mean, I know that was a few months ago, but please.
Yeah, she should be off the air. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene said just yesterday, 3 million documents have been released, yet we still lack the complete truth. Videos are missing. Logs are missing. And she's 100% right, dude. I mean, she was in those hearings.
Yeah. And none of this is a coincidence. This is the problem. When you have like 6 million documents, how are we going to notice if two of them are missing?
Yeah.
You know?
You keep pointing out that there are people that are pouring through these documents. I mean, I'm so thankful to these people that are really putting in this hard time of going through all these documents, because when I go and look at the documents, it's tiring. It's laborious, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And the problem is, like what I was pointing out with NPR and PBS and some of these other people, like they've gone through them and have noticed like numbers are off on the filing pages. And so there must be some missing. But what if an entire thing is missing? You would never, there's no, how would you know? And we haven't seen the pictures that Michael Wolff has so detailed, it described in such great detail that I have a hard time believing that he's just making it up, because you would have to be a straight up sociopath to make up bizarre details. Like Trump had a stain on his pants and there's a bunch of underage girls sitting around him pointing and laughing. Like, why would you make that image up?
Yeah, you wouldn't. I mean,
so
I don't know.
That picture. Haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. What do you think, dude? Who goes down for this? We'll get to this a little later in the show, but we saw Kristi Noem fall off the cupboard, you know, the cabinet, as it were. She's gone now. Who will go down for this? Do you think Pam Bondi will go down?
I have no idea. Time will tell. Pam Bondi, I mean, for what? For violating this Transparency Act law? I mean, maybe, but I'm more looking for somebody to actually be, you know, further investigation and some more prosecutions. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people commenting that over in the United Kingdom, there are investigations that have started because of the release of these files. I mean, quote unquote, Prince Andrew being arrested.
Like, yeah.
Why is the rest of the world taking it seriously? But for some odd reason over here, it's just, sorry, people, we're burying this, or, hey, look, we just blew up another country.
Yeah. Now, what does Cash Patel know? You know, there's so many people who know what the F is going on here that I think is, are just, you know, still laying their heads on their pillows and sleeping at night. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. Listen, I have a hard time seeing eye to eye with Cash Patel. So
he doesn't have a hard time with that with you or anyone else.
So anyways, that's all my Epstein stuff. Do you got anything else before we move on to either Iran or the dog killer?
Nope. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, let's keep looking. We'll keep looking into the Epstein files, obviously, and keep updating, see what else we can bring.
Yeah, and like Naomi here, I'm Epstein'd out. I get it. I get it. But that's kind of part of the trap, so try not to fall into that. We're not going to spend a whole hour talking about it, but I'm just saying, like, new things are coming out, and new things are still going to come out. So the trap there would be that, yeah, I'm over this. I've been hearing about it and hearing about it, and that's understandable, but stay focused, people. Stay focused. Yeah.
Stay focused.
My 16-year-old son, he's got some civics teacher or something that keeps bringing up Trump, and he's sharing political cartoons and asking them to write, you know, commentary on it, and what do you think the point is here, and how do you analyze this? But he said the recurring themes that his high school teacher keeps bringing up are ICE and the Epstein files. And those are the exact things that I keep pointing out are cutting across age, you know, demographics and party lines. Like, everyone seems to get that ICE is fucked up and treating everyone wrong, and that the Epstein files are fucked up. So that's why we have to keep hammering on both of those topics, even if it is getting a little fatiguing.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with her. I'm tired of it. But yeah, we'll stay in the fight and try and get some accountability. You know, we got to keep our voices raised. So,
Yep. All right. So, since I brought up ICE, fucking Kristi Noem finally got fired. And if you're wondering why, well, here, let's just a quick clip for you.
But it sounds like from people close to him, very close to him, who can speak to his thinking, the quote that I was given was, it was a combination of her many unfortunate leadership failures, from Minnesota to the ad campaign to the allegations of an affair. You'll recall in the aftermath of the ICE deportation campaign in Minnesota that took the lives of two protesters, there were a number of Republicans who called for her to step down. So there was a pressure campaign on the president as this DHS funding has been stalled in Congress, that there has been a problem at the top. And it's not just criticism from Democrats that he was hearing and seeing in the press. This ad campaign, though, seems to have really tipped the president over the edge. And she told Congress that the president and approved of that campaign, even though apparently he did not.
Yeah,
she's perjury, by the way.
Right, and she's referring to a roughly $200 million DHS ad campaign.
$220 million. Don't forget, $20 million is not nothing. So
I should have said plus. Yeah, you're right. She repeatedly has said that Trump approved this, but I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's bullshit. No, I had no idea about it because it does seem inflated. You know, like that's a big number.
It's a huge number. And it's so funny. I never saw the ad because it's all been run on, like, you know, Fox News and Newsmax and all that kind of stuff. But the funny thing is, so, yeah, I mean, first of all, the pathetic thing is all of that stuff they talked about did not get her fired. I mean, specifically Minnesota and Alex Pretty and Renee Good and all the other deaths that have happened in custody, just the flagrant abuse of due process, you know, going into houses without the right kind of warrants, like none of that crap, because Trump doesn't care about any of that. But when she looked bad during those testimonies she did this week where she was getting grilled and she didn't hold her own,
yeah,
it came out like there was a $220 million ad campaign that featured her with only passing mentions of Trump. That is what pushed our narcissist wannabe dictator over the edge finally.
Well, and especially when it's coming from Republicans. Here she is sitting talking with Kennedy and, she just looks like an idiot. See what you think.
Yeah. You blame those statements on Mr. Stephen Miller at the White House. Did you not?
No, sir, I did not. And in fact, where you're seeing that is in a news article of anonymous sources. And anonymous sources say a lot of things, but it is, I've never said that at all.
Well, here's what you said on the record. I'm going to read you your words. Quote, everything I've done at the direction of the president and Stephen.
Sir, where did you see me say that at? You read that in a news article with no sources affiliated to
it. You said it on the record on January 27th
you said it,
of 2026. Did you? Did
sir,
I read your words accurate?
I enjoy working with the president and with Stephen Miller, and that day we were working to get as much information to the American people as possible. That is what we'll continue to do, and as that happens,
you
know
you
we'll
won't.
Forward
you think and
fair to blame Mr. Miller?
Sir, I did not do that.
Jeez, dude. So, yeah, I mean, when it's coming from Republicans and they're making her look stupid, Trump can't take that. You know, like, it just can't be done. Because when have we seen anyone step out of line and not just kiss the ass of Hegseth or whoever it may be that's been appointed to the cabinet? We haven't seen that yet.
No. And she did not technically get fired. I mean, she got fired from that, but then he transferred her to some made-up brand-new position that we're never going to hear from her again. But yeah, she may not even make it to that whole thing because Team Gnome firing back at the White House today, suggesting that Trump lied about not knowing about the ad campaign.
Okay. So now does she have receipts?
So what's that?
Does she have receipts?
Well, it's a great question because nothing in Trump world is usually overly documented. But yeah, right. So Trump said that I never approved that. And it's hard to tell if he's lying or not because his mouth is moving. So odds are good he's lying.
Yeah.
But I could also see him saying, like, you could spend $200 million. I better be all over that freaking ad. Like, you
yes.
know. So yeah, I don't know. There's some credibility there. But I don't know what the hell she's thinking to now accuse him of lying. Like, do you think that's going to end well for her? Do you think Trump's going to say, oh, yeah, no, I lied? You're right.
Well, and do you think, look how it ended up for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, right. She's because she was a traitor on day one, you know, of saying anything back. So, yeah, it's not good for her. But what was the what was the position she was moved to? Do you know?
Oh, it's a dog shooting joke. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Something of the Western Hemisphere. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was such a made up last minute thing that doesn't even really make sense.
No, for sure. So we'll see how all that goes. But I will say, I don't know if it's out yet, but I did a great in memoriam for Kristi Noem on Really American today. And I honestly had a lot of fun with it. I featured every one of her Ice Barbie, you know, cosplay Kristi popular looks.
Yeah.
I did a whole montage of those and just great clips. You know, Morning Joe, Mika and Joe were just laughing hysterically at the TV commercial and making fun of her. And, you know, J.B. Pritzker from Illinois threw her right under the bus. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And kind of riffed on her. But then he was like, keep in mind, accountability is still coming for you just because you're out the door, you know?
I watched that and I was like, oh, I got to go make sure that's not AI. And obviously it's not, but that's the world we're in, so.
Totally. And also Harry Enten on CNN, you know, their Steve Kornacki or whatever at the big board. He did a poll that, you know, it was showing just how insanely unpopular Kristi Noem is, which I know is not a surprise to our audience, but to see the numbers and to see everyone just piling on her. And I haven't seen any MAGA talking heads defending her or saying, like, gee, we're going to miss her.
You know? Right. No, I haven't either, dude. It'll be interesting to see if that does happen.
Yes. Would you like to see my special edits, additions I made to her TV commercial?
Of course I would, dude. I always do. I always love it.
So this is the actual commercial.
Why do I love these wide open spaces?
A few additions.
They remind me of why our forefathers came here. Not just for its beauty, but for the freedom only America provides. I'm Kristi Noem. From the cowboys who tamed the West, to the titans who built our cities, to the dreamers who chased the impossible, America has always rewarded vision and grit. Our greatness calls people to us for a chance to prosper, to live how they choose, to become part of something special. Anyone who searches for freedom can always find a home here. But that freedom's a precious thing, and we defend it vigorously. You cross the border illegally, we'll find you. Break our laws, we'll punish you. Harm American citizens, there will be consequences. But if you come here the right way, your American dream can be as big as these endless skies. From President Trump and me, welcome home.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And what in the hell is she wearing, actually? She literally, and yes, I'm repeating my joke I made in the video today, but she looks like fucking Marty McFly from Back to the Future 3. like this comically inaccurate cowboy costume where it was all, you know, paisley and blue. And like, I mean, that looks like what she was wearing in that commercial.
$220 million she had to spend, dude. She's got a tone, you know.
Wow.
It's so, Hollywood cowboy. Yeah. Yeah. Nice work, dude. That's hysterical.
And I do. I don't know what else you got on her, but I have a connected thing about her replacement.
Oh, yeah, I do, too, and that's what I was about to go into. Perfect. So, this is kind of, every position that we're looking at. Like, hey, if Donald Trump died, who would replace him? Oh, shitbag J.D. Vance would. Who are they going to pick for the Ayatollah in Iran? Like, we don't have a lot of good options of replacements. But Mark Wayne Mullen, he's your newest guy. I guess he's still got to be confirmed, right?
Yeah, and he's a senator. I know a lot of people are saying he'll breeze through the confirmation, I assume because he's a senator, but
maybe so.
Yeah, I've got a list after you play your thing of just crazy things this man has done. Not the least of which is, what kind of name is Mark Wayne? Was that a typo?
I know.
Was his name Wayne? And who makes Mark Wayne a one-word name?
I think isn't he from Oklahoma? Yeah. I mean, it explains some things, right? Yeah. I've got two videos here. The first one is just the press asking him, you know, about, oh, you were named your replacement for Kristi Noem. How do you feel? You know, I'm going to Disneyland. Pretty much, this is his statement.
Yeah.
But what was your first reaction to just the news that you were nominated for this position, just amidst everything and that's
humbling
happening?
Humbling, because I had to call my dad, and because it happened quick, right? I had to call my wife and call my dad both. And it's just, you know, pretty humbling when you start thinking about it. A little kid from West Oklahoma gets to serve in the president's cabinet. That's pretty neat.
It's giving off the same energy of like, hey, Dad, I got the part. I got the part.
Isn't it neat, Dad? I got the part.
Right?
I've been from Oklahoma.
I'm accepted. And if you're thinking to yourself like, oh, I don't know who that is, or maybe you're thinking, oh, he looks kind of familiar, let's look at a few of his moves over the last few years of just who he actually is. This is Mark Wayne Mullen.
I don't buckle up, and the reason why I don't buckle up, and people can say whatever they want to, they can raise their eyebrows at me again, is because of carjacking. How about we teach Jesus loves me? Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in our sight. Now, I don't want reality. I'm asking the question, which one is better? That's exactly what it is.
War is ugly. It smells bad.
Leadership.
This is war, and we're taking out the threat.
You'll concede this is war.
We haven't declared war.
And I told it was going to be sent to what, I guess, receive his 77 virgins, if that's really a thing. There was a sweetheart plea deal that was made underneath the Obama administration with Epstein. Right.
It was 2008.
This is why there probably has to be a larger deployment of the National Guard to protect federal agents from doing their job, or to be able to let them do their job.
What if you showed up drunk to your job? How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night? And don't tell me you haven't seen it, because I know you have.
Sir, this is a time, this is a place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Wow. Unbelievable, dude. That's the guy who, I mean, I'm thinking, oh, maybe Kristi Noem was perfect for the position.
Right. He hasn't shot a dog, though, so at least there's that.
True.
Believe, wasn't he a former, like, MMA fighter or boxer or some testosterone, you know, steroided out thing to challenge a man to a fight on the floor of the Congress or whatever. So I've got an article that someone put together, the top seven, like, craziest things he's done, and several of those were on there, but I'll just breeze through it. So
yeah, please.
One was him just, I think, this week saying that it's not a war, but, you know, he said it, the war in Iran's not a war. It's hilarious. He compared Charlie Kirk to Martin Luther King. Kirk, of course, harshly had criticized Martin Luther King. So
right.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Mullen claimed after the January 6th Capitol riot that only Democrats have ever become politically violent. It's funny. Mullen stated that he doesn't wear a seatbelt. Just pause on that. What kind of humble brag is that supposed to be, that I don't wear a seatbelt because I'm afraid of getting carjacked? I mean,
yeah.
Just follow that logic. What are you being strapped in? Make it harder to get carjacked?
You would think so, yeah. I mean, it makes zero sense, but he's bragging about, like, I don't buckle up.
Yeah,
like, right. Click it or ticket. Come on, Mr. Mullen.
Don't start now. Let's let the Darwin thing work its way out. Mullen said that he understands why Rand Paul was physically attacked by a neighbor. It's nice. He's very respectful to his fellow colleagues.
Yes.
The fist fight with the Teamsters leader there. And then the one thing that was not on that little video montage, and I hadn't heard of this until this list here, Mullen reportedly fingered the nostrils of sleeping congressional colleagues and their spouses on a trip to Israel.
What are you talking about?
Have you ever fingering somebody's nostrils? What fucking grade are you in?
To wake them up?
Sleeping and he's sticking his fingers up their nose? Like, whoa, look, I got my finger up. And their spouses? Like,
that is just completely strange, dude.
This is the guy we're trusting with some sort of civility, apparently, to run ICE now in the Department of Homeland Security. This man is in charge of all of our security here in the homeland.
So yes.
Watch out or he'll finger your nostril. If you're lucky. If he's on the Epstein list, he may do more than that. So.
What? So what's the deal, dude? Explain this to me like I'm an idiot, because sometimes I am. What's Tom Homan? Why didn't he step into the position?
That's a good question. I mean, he certainly could have been pushed over there. But Homan's in a non-congressionally approved, made-up, you know, I'm the border czar thing. Because I don't know that Trump wants to put him up to be approved. Because of that $50,000 bribe and because of 100 other skeletons he's probably got in his closet. Because, you know, it's just this is nothing but the best people that Trump surrounds himself with. So,
but this just seems like a weird one. And I, as I was laying, trying to go to sleep, I was thinking to myself, what's the upside of this? Like, behind the scenes, you know, can Trump make money off of this? Is there favors being switched? Like, he's obviously not qualified for the job. So what's the upside to this? Why did he step into the position?
Because he's humbled by it, Daddy. It's a great opportunity that's neat. He's going to lick Trump's boots and do whatever he says, but maybe he won't go out there and cosplay and, you know, make shit up after ICE murders the next person, like, you know.
Yeah.
And he's going to be around for a while unless he does something so just egregious, because look how much it took to fire Noam, because Trump knew that would make him look bad.
So, and I don't see this going well, obviously. And, you know, part of that is funny to me. But then when I think about the seriousness of this fucking position, right? Like, not only could our citizens, more citizens be killed here, who knows what else can happen? I mean, we just started this war with Iran. So, yeah, I mean, this is a big position.
Yeah, nothing good will come of it, but to say the least. You know, I mean, the reason ICE has gotten so desperate is because they're chasing this myth that we've got, you know, 29 million, you know, rapist murderers that are here illegally. Go find them all. This quota of arresting 3,000 people a day. So I don't know. I mean, I just hope maybe him and Homan kind of are on the same page as far as, like, let's do some more calculated things. Let's not open our big dumb mouths when something crazy happens. Because Homan, after both the Preddy and Good shootings, was like, hey, let's wait for the investigation. Like, he was at least half smart enough to say that.
For sure. But, yeah, I mean, you're living in la-la land. If you think this guy's going to buddy up and be like, yeah, that's reasonable. Let's do the reasonable thing here.
Yeah. Well, Kitty Cat says, I don't think Mark Wayne will have any trouble making Trump look bad. I mean, based on his inability to control his emotions in public, I can't wait for him to get called for the next DHS, you know, testimony for the next crazy thing that ICE does. So
completely. Yes. You know, and also I think Trump likes to pick more people that are, you know, he loves the Lauren Boberts or the Marjorie Taylor Greens. Like, the people who are crazy and stand up, they make him look a little more sane by, oh, yeah, I'm not the only one who talks shit all the time.
Exactly. I love Claire's comment here. I hear that he's legally bound to fluck Lewandowski on every private jet flight he takes.
You know, he should have to take it from Lewandowski.
Yeah, right. And by the way, Lewandowski was fired, too. That's not making a lot of headlines. But apparently a few weeks ago, she tried to make him her chief of staff or something, and Trump stopped that.
And yeah, now, wasn't he out of time as a special employee of the government anyway?
Yeah, but he was way over on that. So, yeah. But he officially got sent packing as well. You freaking cheaters.
It's going to be a lonely bed on that jet, dude.
Right. And I love that elected officials asked her, like, have you ever had sex with Lewandowski? She was just like, that's tabloid garbage. And I didn't hear no.
Right.
Because you're under oath.
So. Yeah, that's fantastic, dude. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens as the dumpster fire slash circus continues within the Trump regime.
Yes. And speaking of regimes, should we talk Iran or where are you at?
Yeah, we can go there next if you'd like.
Well, I mean, the comical changing every day of why we're there has been slightly humorous, so... You know, we had frickin' Rubio saying Israel was going to do it, so we had to do it. And then Trump said, no, Israel wasn't going to do it. We're going to do it. And threats are imminent, and threats aren't imminent. And it's not about regime change, but it is about regime change. I mean, in the last 24 hours here, Trump has said that he's going to – he expects a complete and unconditional surrender, which I don't see how you do that without sending troops in. Although, yeah. I just got a breaking news alert from NBC News like 20 minutes ago saying that according to their exclusive sources, that Trump actually wants to send troops in. He wants boots on the ground. It's sure not a, you know, worst case scenario thing. He's actually gunning to do that.
Yes.
And yeah, he wants to pick their leader. How is that not regime change? You've killed them all. You want to pick the new guy.
Completely. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about here is regime change. I mean, they can't keep their story straight, which is hilarious. Trump, let's see. Here's a video of Trump talking a little bit about the war that he started.
It's not a war.
They're tough and they want to fight. And they're calling. They're saying, how do we make a deal? I said, you're being a little bit late. And we want to fight now more than they do. We've had 47 years, depending on the way you count it, but 47 years of horror with this group. And, you know, when you see somebody walking down the street without their legs,
Trump does this all the time, dude. I pointed out to you last week that he said, ships are now floating at the bottom of the sea or whatever, you know, he just says here, like they're walking down the street with their legs blown off. They're not walking, sir. Like, so pay attention to what you're frickin' saying.
Without their legs, without the arms, whose faces so badly affected. God, and
it's the one video.
Hurt.
Speaking of Metallica.
It mostly came from 95% Soleimani and Iran. And we... other presidents lived with it. I didn't live with it. And so our people are doing a great job. Again, the greatest military anyone's seen.
Sure. I didn't live with it.
Yeah. Well, I hope we're all proud of everything we're achieving over there. And by the way, latest reporting says that with that bomb that killed the 148 schoolgirls, it does seem to be ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is some sort of investigation going on as to whether or not AI was helping pick some of these targets.
Really? I had not read that.
Yes. So,
oh, man.
As I pointed out this week on one of my Really American videos, go check it out. Like, America is the bad guy here. We are the terrorists here. This is not Minority Report. We don't predict crimes are going to happen and attack ahead of times. Trump said this week, there was no intelligence saying that Iran was an imminent threat, but Trump was dumb enough to say, in my opinion, they were going to attack us. So I thought about it. In my opinion, like, so you preemptively attacked a country. If somebody set off a bomb here in America that blew up a school full of little girls, what would we call it?
Yes. Yeah. We'd call it a terrorist attack.
Right.
It's also interesting that Trump was caught saying on two different occasions that, you know, if we wouldn't have done this, they would have attacked Israel. And we have a problem with that, right? Even the MAGAs have some sort of problem with that because he ran on America First doing a wars piece, you know. This is all shady shit. Like Steve and I have pointed out dozens of times, and you guys are probably tired of hearing about it, but they... or he, rather, loves playing with all this shit. He wants to, it's just a checklist to him that he's playing with all the toys. He is now, let's see where this is. There was a reporter Hold on here, dude, so I can tell you his name, because I forgot it.
I'll sip coffee in my captain.
Here it is. Oh, good. Let's see. NBC Capitol Hill correspondent Hake. You know who that is? Tim Hake?
Yes.
He had a really interesting video this morning as he was just kind of walking and talking to his phone. I've got this in two parts, dude. This is going to blow your mind for several different reasons.
I've covered five different presidents. I have never seen one other than Donald Trump who regularly takes phone calls from reporters. So I thought I would talk a little bit about that. I've spoken to him over the phone three times since the military operation, the war against Iran, started. In each of those cases, I simply called him and he answered. Some of the conversations are short. Some of them can be quite lengthy. I talked to him today during the middle of the afternoon, and the call lasted for about 20 minutes. When I called, I was actually calling to ask him because if he was firing Kristi Noem, because ABC News was about to report that had happened. And it turned out that as I was talking to him, reviewing the statement that he would put out saying that she was leaving office, and he started to read the statement to me, and then he pressed send and said, look, you can see it now. You can see it now.
Posted it on Truth or what?
Yeah, he posted it on Truth. So this is disturbing for a lot of different reasons. Let's finish up with his report, and then we can discuss more.
Okay.
The conversation then turned to Iran, obviously, the really big story and major decision which may define not just his presidency, but his entire political career. And I have to say, he just sounded incredibly triumphant. He said to me, they're calling me the GOAT, greatest of all time.
Ooh.
He asked me if I thought it was impressive, meaning the war. He said, what do you think of the performance? He clearly feels that he is a president right now that is almost unlimited in his power. And he feels that he can do no wrong. And he told me, well, in the first term, I built the military. In my second term, I am using it. But again, the conversation goes on, and it's in the middle of the day, in the middle of the war.
Can you believe that he had a 20-plus minute conversation with a reporter as we are actively in a war, as you're deciding whether or not to let go of the head of Department of Homeland Security, yeah, and all the other shit that's going on? He's on the phone with a reporter for 20-plus minutes talking, yes, you know, this is great. Don't you think it's great?
Yes. No, it is insane. And he does that with a lot of reporters. I'm reading a book by Jonathan Carl about all of his phone calls where Trump just answers the calls and they chat because, you know, Trump wants that outlet, especially if it's not like live on TV where he can just, you know, feed them whatever bullshit narrative he wants to. But yeah, of course, he is easily distracted and not focusing his eyes on the prize. He did a whole rant last night on True Social against Bill Maher. Bill Maher, comedian guy that Trump, in the middle of a war and everything else going on, decided that that was what his time and energy needed to be spent on, railing on Bill Maher.
Dude, I remember a day, it was not that long ago, Stephen, that Obama was criticized for at least 48 hours of nonstop news coverage for wearing a tan suit.
Yes, of course. Well, that was an atrocity, though, Nick. Come
on. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. What the fuck is going on here, dude?
I don't know. I don't know. And I will tell you that Cuba is next. He's admitted that now to multiple reporters.
Yes.
This thing, you know, yes, like Elizabeth says here, ooh, the GOAT. Like, who the hell, what, Vance told you that, or your right hand told you that, or something? Like, who the hell would say he's the greatest of all time? I mean, it's an insult to goats, quite frankly.
Yes, it is, dude, of all kinds.
But, yeah, so not only is Cuba next, but speaking of atrocities, like, I'm getting a little sick of talking about this, but we have another war crime that seems to have just happened in international waters. And just like all of the other ones, this, all the stuff with Venezuela and these fishermen, and like, I don't think anything's ever going to come of it. Again, I'm pissed at some of the Democrats for not getting more vocal, but they also don't have the committees. They don't have the subpoena power. They can't, so they will eventually, and hopefully then they get in there. But what's Luigi here saying? Hegseth downplayed the possibility that Russia's help to Iran could be putting Americans in harm's way. That's not the exact article I was going to talk about, but that is on my list. Apparently, yeah, Putin is helping Iran right now by telling them where American troops are at. So this is about one hair away from being a world war.
Yes.
I mean, we got multiple countries involved throughout the Middle East. We have some missile strikes getting into Europe at this point. And now Putin is sticking his nose in the matter. And you know Trump's not going to denounce him or threaten anything against him. But maybe other countries will.
Yeah, completely. 100%. We are very, very close to World War III right now.
Yes. The fact that Putin is helping Iran. But now back to the latest war crime here. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's latest quiet death, as he called it, may amount to a war crime, according to at least one analysis. So this week it was revealed that the U.S. torpedoed an Iranian warship called the Iris Dina. Off the coast of Sri Lanka while it was returning home from planned military exercises with India. Unarmed, by the way. They didn't have any munitions on this boat.
Right.
The torpedo killed more than 80 Iranian soldiers, and then they attempted, Pete and company, to let the rest drown in the water. Another country went out and rescued these people. So that's reminiscent of the Venezuelan war crime.
Yeah.
Where they blew up and the two survivors, they just let them, drown.
The double tap, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's right. They didn't let them drown. They went back and blew them up.
Yeah.
So let's see. It was the first time in 80 years that the U.S. had sunk an enemy warship in international waters. According to reports, sparked outrage from the Iranian officials, describing that as an atrocity. In the wake of the operation, Hegseth said it was a quiet death during his public remarks 2 days ago. Legal experts have noted that sinking a ship in international waters, particularly one reportedly unarmed and returning from a training exercise, could constitute a war crime under international law. I don't know how it wouldn't.
I don't know either.
They weren't engaging with us. They didn't even have any weapons. It was a training exercise.
There are rumblings that I'm reading about, and they have not been confirmed, so I want to say that. But people are talking about this operation and saying, oh, the U.S. was invited to go do that and said that they would also go for this training exercise. And they opted out right before it was supposed to happen. Saying like, oh, that's how we got we knew right where they would be and we could set up. I mean, how long did you say this has been, first time in 50 years? They shot it with a torpedo from a submarine, dude. Yeah.
It said 80, but I've also seen some reports that maybe there was a couple of the random ones. But point being, like, this was technically a warship, but it was really there for ceremonial purposes and for training exercises. So we just shot it out of the water. And then we attempted to let people drown and just killed 80 Iranian soldiers that weren't engaging with us.
The thing that people need to realize is when you're talking about stuff like this, you don't have to say like, oh, these are bad people. Two things can be true at once. There's a thing called rules of engagement. There are rules for fucking war, dude.
Yeah.
And if we want other people to respect those rules, we damn well better be doing it ourselves. And we're not.
That used to be the American exceptionalism thing. Like, we took the high ground. We stuck to the rules and the laws because, A, it's the right thing to do. But, B, what you just said is so right. Like, if we're not doing it, why would anyone else do it? And the people that will take that are our troops, the men and women out there fighting for us. It's not Trump.
No. And Hegseth has pretty much said, like, we're no longer going to be the moral high ground here. Yes. We're going to take action. We're on the hunt. We're going to kill you.
Yep, absolutely.
It's sick.
A couple other quick Iran things. I mean, first of all, you and I talked on Tuesday about this threat of terror cells being activated here in America, which, we've seen more evidence that shooting in Austin was some sort of a sympathizer. I don't think he was part of a terrorist sleeper cell. But, there's been a lot of talk about that. And someone asked Trump yesterday, like, is this a concern, a strike on U.S. soil? And his answer, and I'm paraphrasing, but the biggest quote was, I guess. Like, I guess we're always worried about that, kind of, but we're at war, so, people are going to die. I guess. was his answer.
Unbelievable.
Should we be worried? Because he's not worried. I mean, I know that the Iranian government's probably going to try to take Trump down, but he's got Secret Service and military and, you know, secured facilities and all that stuff. But yeah, I guess.
Listen,
don't be worried.
If he doesn't care about our military service members being murdered and just says, it's part of war. He doesn't give a fuck about you as a citizen. Like he said, yeah, I guess there could be people here that could kill you. Like, be careful. You know?
His other just utterly callous or just disrespectful, I don't know, quote here. He was asked about rising gas prices. He said, if they rise, they rise. Like, it's worth it in the long run. Because, again, not only can he obviously afford gas, but when was the last time he bought gas? Like, never, probably.
No.
And I told my son, I filled up the car, I think it was on Sunday, and at my local gas station, it was $3.49 a gallon. And I told him, I said, let's watch that price of gas. Let's see where it's at come the weekend. I filled up my car yesterday, so Thursday, it was up to $3.79 a gallon.
Oh, well, at least it's going slow for you because I looked at gas prices because I was getting low and I was like, oh, I should stop and get gas. It was $3.79. I waited until the next day, which was the second day of war, and they were up to $4.29 or $4.28.
Oh.
So,
yeah, I mean, and this is something that really does affect regular old humans and voters and all that. But, you know, I'm trying to go see my dad sometime soon, and airline tickets are already starting to go up from when I looked a week ago, and they're just going to keep going higher. I do have this trip to go see Metallica, and I'm thinking, like, I should probably wait to buy or should I not wait? It's going up every day, but do I buy now before it gets even higher, or do I wait and hope come October it's finally come back down? Like,
part of the fun.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real concern. And just real quick here, the White House in the last day here has put out a series of just insane, disrespectful, straight-up propaganda videos on the official White House page. I did a story for Really American that I think I posted this morning about one of them because I keep doing it.
Yeah.
First was they mixed in clips of the actual war in Iran with clips from Call of Duty, a video game. And on one level, I don't know if they thought no one would notice or are they just trying to make it look like, you know, war is a video game, kids. Like, how fun is this? You good at Call of Duty? You should join the army. Like,
it's all cosplay to them, dude. I don't think they care, first of all. And I don't even know if Trump's like, ooh, that looks badass. I don't even know if he knows the difference in it, you know? No.
They did another one today, though, with Grand Theft Auto. They were mixing in scenes from Grand Theft Auto. Wasted, destroyed. Like, again, human beings, not only on their side, have died way more than ours, but as of now, we have 6 dead U.S. soldiers. One of them was a mom about to go home to see her kids and her husband. And
so
you're fucking equating them to a video game?
Yeah.
And then they did another one today, a supercut with a bunch of American, you know, movies all mixed in there. And Ben Stiller has already come out saying, how fucking dare you take my movie clip out of your stupid propaganda?
Yes. People seem to think that Barron is running the social media for the White House and it's cool and edgy and all this shit. When it comes to stuff like this, war, come on, have a little freaking class, dude.
Yes.
I saw videos of those caskets coming home, dude, to an empty hangar.
Yeah, you mentioned that. So some of the caskets came home and the president did not greet them. Nobody from the Pentagon greeted them. Nobody.
Dude, it looked like a parking garage.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, dude. It was really crazy. So, yeah, I hate this president. I mean, I know you know that, but when's the last time you heard anything about Ukraine, dude?
Not much. I mean, this is the problem with the news cycle. I know Trump railed on Zelensky today for some odd reason, but like I mentioned on Tuesday, I don't know how we can tell Russia to stay out of Ukraine now. We're not staying out of other countries. What right do we have?
Yeah.
We're violating international law. Putin's doing it. Like, what the hell?
World War III, dude.
Yeah. Do you have the Metallica thing? I know we teased it, and it's on that topic of cringeworthy, stupid videos the government should not be putting out.
Yeah,
we just have no respect for copyright whatsoever, whether it's movie clips or artists, you know, music.
Yeah, this comes off of the White House's, website or TikTok or what, you know, they're producing this garbage.
Yesterday, the leader of the unit who attempted to assassinate President Trump has been hunted down and killed. Iran tried to kill President Trump, and President Trump got the last laugh.
Playing Enter Sandman behind you.
You know that they're going to...
I was the hunted, and now I'm the hunter.
Piece of shit, dude.
Right.
Metallica's got to step up and say, take that off. We already know that they disagree with this administration. So,
yeah, I saw that first yesterday, and I told the Really American crew, like, I'm going to wait for Metallica to do something, and then I'll, you know, probably do a story about it. But Hexeth already used Enter Sandman like 7-8 months ago for one of those drone videos, and that song was playing off to Never Never Land. And
yeah.
And yeah, Metallica did not give it a formal cease and desist order, but their record company called and said, knock that the fuck off. Like, yeah. And, you know, Metallica is very anti-war. They're anti, you know, master of puppets and using, you know, disposable heroes is an entire song about abusing soldiers. And yeah, I mean, Lars Ulrich is an immigrant. He's Denmark, Sweden. I don't know. He's from another country.
Yeah.
Kirk Hammett, I believe his one of his parents is Filipino or, you know, Pacific Islander somewhere. And then, yeah, Robert Trujillo, their newest bass player, is Latino. So none of them are okay with any of this kind of crap going on. And I know they don't want to get involved in politics. They've never endorsed a candidate or not. But, you know, no, they don't like this shit whatsoever. Why would any artist
stop using the music, dude? But they won't.
They don't want
you right.
I would say they're asking for forgiveness, not permission, but they're not asking for either. They just don't care.
You can't play a video like that and put YMCA to it. You know, like that's the only thing they're really allowed to play.
Yeah.
Or some Kid Rock or whatever. But yeah.
Right.
Hey, dude, I need to play you one last video.
Okay.
Okay. I want your thoughts on this. We've been seeing people that we disagree with from across the aisle, all different levels, come out and denounce this Trump regime. This is the latest.
This has to be the breaking point. This is the breaking point for the GOP coalition. You buried the Epstein files. There is no border wall. You didn't deliver on mass deportations. You cut corporate tax rates for the rich by cutting Medicaid again. No infrastructure bill. No middle class tax cuts. You got to refund the tariffs. And now we're in a regime change war with Iran. That's the breaking point. I'm out. I'm done. I am off the Trump train. I am not voting in 26. If Rubio or Vance are on the ticket in any form in 28, I'm voting for a Democrat.
Wow.
Mousers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, Nick Fuentes there, a little white nationalist, Nazi sympathizer, thinks Hitler's a good guy. Like, I don't want to say like, yes, he is right. And I agree with him, but he is right. I do agree with him on everything he said right there. But just keep in mind, people, like sometimes when you're so far away from the middle of the political spectrum, sometimes we all can meet on the other side. There is a little Venn diagram where someone like a Nick Fuentes and a Nick and Steve can actually agree on a certain thing like that.
And that tiny little,
tiny little Venn diagram.
But, right.
Yeah, he's not wrong. You know, I mean, everything he just said there is what conservatives are supposed to be against.
Not only is he calling on the conservatives, but his groypers, either don't vote or vote Democrat. So, yeah, I think it's people are tired. People are tired of this. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, we whether it's Nick Fuentes or Marjorie Taylor Greene, like, you know, your enemy of your enemy is your friend. So on some levels, we are friends with these people that for different reasons, perhaps vehemently disagree with Trump. And maybe his reasons for not wanting to invade Iran or whatever are different than ours. But whatever.
Right.
At the end of the day, we both agree like this is crazy. Knock it the fuck off.
Yeah.
And who just said it here? Vintage Mom. You need a regime change in the USA. I assume they're outside of the country. And you're correct. Whatever country you're in, why don't you tell your leaders maybe we're primed for a regime change. And you can invade us because we can invade you. So good for the goose, good for the gander, right?
Yeah. Mom, I think she's from England. So you're not wrong, Vintage Mom.
Yeah. Thanks for staying up late.
And yeah, maybe for the weekend. Politics, mum's the word. Let's just take a little time off and relax your brains, relax your soul. And yeah, thanks for joining the podcast today.
Yeah, I'm going to see the Violent Femmes tonight. I got a concert night out, so looking forward to that. But yeah, everyone enjoy your weekend, but do stay paying attention. We just can't let this stuff go unnoticed. And like the stuff, comment on it, share it all. Check out all the Really American hosts, all the short form daily videos. The Really American podcast that the other guys are doing is great. And share all this kind of stuff. And go to thevocalminority.net if you want to reach out to Nick and I.
Indeed. Have a good weekend. We do two of these, Tuesdays and Fridays. We'll catch you on Tuesday. Have a good weekend, y'all.
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day.
Good day.
And we say bye-bye.